Well, as I told you, there are a lot of things going on campus, very impressive. There are also things going on in regard to research and teaching, and that's why I'm glad that Jack Barkenbus, our next speaker, has agreed to come and talk a little bit about the Center for Environmental Management Studies, as well as the Vanderbilt Climate Change Research Network, of which he is the associate director, and he's a senior research associate with the Vanderbilt Center for Environmental Management Studies. Before he came to Vanderbilt, he was 15 years at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, and there he was the director of the Energy, Environment, and Resource Center. He's a political scientist with special interest in energy, environment, and climate change. And with that, I give the word to Jack. Thank you for coming.
I'm delighted to be here, but I recognize that I'm the substitute for the real director of the Climate Change Network that I'll be talking about, and that's Mike Vandenberg. Mike is actually talking to a group tomorrow, UCLA, about our research, and so he's spreading the word about what we're doing here at Vandy and some approaches to climate change through that. I'm going to go fairly quickly over my slides. They're my, How do I get? Oh, there it is. Yeah, I see it. Yeah. Okay, let's see. I'm gonna go over this quickly. So what I did is, in order so you won't have to write down as fast as I'm speaking, I've made some copies of my slides, so you can distribute them. I'm not going to be able to talk about the climate change issue per se. I mean, I think a lot of you know the major dimensions of it, and I really don't have time to get into that. I'm going to be talking about what we're doing here at at Vanderbilt. But I just want to let you know that I was in Washington last week at a very large climate change meeting, and the news is not very favorable, I have to tell you. The scientists are finding that what's happening on this globe is exceeding their expectations with respect to the amount of greenhouse gas emissions concentrations that we have in the atmosphere. And you've been seeing, I'm sure, some of this in terms of the melting of the Arctic, the Antarctic, and Greenland. But it's going a lot faster than we had thought, folks. So the question is not really, can we avert climate change or global warming? The question really is, can we avert catastrophic climate change and global warming? And that's what motivates those of us who have dealt with a lot of other environmental issues before. This one is different. This one is central. And it's important to all of us. So that's why I'm involved in it. So what we've done here at Vanderbilt is that the major focus of our what we're calling the Climate Change Research Network is the role of individuals and households in climate change mitigation. And the reason we chose this is the way that government usually goes about taking care of an environmental problem is to look at business and industry and look to that as a way of solving the problem. Well, what we found by crunching some numbers is that individuals, although they may be not recognizing that their own individual actions, when you multiply that across 110 million households, that can come up with some significant numbers. And so by our calculations, about one-third of the greenhouse gas emissions that are coming from the United States are the direct result of individual actions. And what we found is that there may be some of these actions that we can change and have a major impact in reducing our carbon loading to the atmosphere. And so that's the reason we focused on individual. And many of these things can be done in a time frame that's quicker than you can do through technology. Now, how do we pretend to do that? Well, a lot of the actions can be what we call low fruit and easier to be done, but others are more difficult, and so we need to engage a team of multidisciplinary researchers in academic policy-relevant research. So that's what we're trying to do. Our approach today is using limited internal funds and engage many people here from other disciplines. You can see those disciplines that we've got so far up on the wall. But our desired approach is to gain external funding and solicit participation from other universities and scholars. We've identified maybe four or five other institutions, individual researchers at these places that are doing work in this area, and our intention is to try to form a network and make a stronger program as we work across higher education institutions. Here are some of the people that have been involved in our efforts to date, which really just got off the ground this last year. And so we're still in the formative stages, I would say. But it's a nice mix of disciplines and people, and we welcome more to our efforts. These are the faculty, and then you have the students that we've involved to date. And again, it comes from a various group of individuals. The activities to date are the preparation of some papers. I've listed only five there. If you go to our website, which will be on the last slide, you can go to the web and find the total listing of papers that we've got there. But this gives you an idea of some of the things that we're doing. And the workshops and events, I'm going to talk about that in just a minute as well. The research areas, these are some areas that we're interested in. Which individual behaviors release the greatest amounts of greenhouse gases? We're trying to quantify that. What role do individuals see themselves playing in climate change mitigation? For the most part, they don't, and we have to change that. Firmer understanding of the dynamics of consumption, big issue. You know, can we solve this at the margins, or do we have to have a different way of individuals looking at consumption? And finally, many things that individuals do are decided for them. For example, if they rent a house, much of the equipment in the apartment is provided by a landlord, and so the individual really doesn't have a choice in that. So how does one get to the landlords in these cases? And that's what's called a principal-agent relationship, and we have to find answers to that sort of thing. Which tools to employ? Well, in education and information campaigns are one tool to get people to understand and to take action, but they're probably not a sufficient tool in most cases. So you have to look at economic incentives, norm formation or social marketing, technical fixes where appropriate, and there are even people talking about regulating individual behavior to some extent. Although they're not talking about that in the United States, they are talking about that in Europe. And I could go into that if some people wanted to hear that. But we're excited about the upcoming events, and we hope a lot of you will attend some of these sessions that I've laid out here. January 30th, which is just next week, we're going to have a presentation by William Boyd of Covington and Burling. He's going to be making a presentation on climate change, environmental action, and international governance, or something to that effect. So it's going to be a broad-based, high-level approach. It won't be getting into individual behaviors, but probably be a good lecture on how we as the national and international community go about this. February 26th, we're going to have a workshop with Mathis Wackernagel. Many of you may already know of him. He is the he is the one behind the concept of ecological footprinting, the idea of a climate or global or carbon footprint goes back to him, and he operates something called the Global Footprint Network, and he's going to be on campus to talk about how he's trying to get this concept quantified and accepted by national governments as a way of accounting, I guess you could say. Then on March 19th, we're going to have an equity offset workshop. Offsets, of course, are emission reduction actions that are funded by others. For example, if we have a cap and trade system, there is the opportunity for money to be raised that could then fund various ways of reducing the emissions that come from low-income housing. So we're trying to connect the climate change issue to the low-income issue in ways that haven't been done before, and so that we can work on both problems simultaneously. And that's what we're going to bring in at least one or two people from Washington to talk on that. And we have Brooke Ackerley is going to lead the effort along with Mike Vandenberg. Then the April 1st and 2nd one there is not really a Vanderbilt event. I had to put that up there because I'm heavily involved in this. This is the third annual time we will have a Tennessee Higher Education and Sustainability Conference. It's going to be held at Lipscomb University this year, and on an annual basis we try to get higher education institutions in Tennessee to come and talk about the interesting things that they're doing, and so it's a learning experience for everyone. In previous years, we've had attendance of about 150 people, high degree of attendance from students, so we especially welcome students to this. Registration is free, so that's no barrier. And in previous years, we've had about 23 people from higher education institutions. So it's a good, we'll talk about climate change actions, we'll talk about campus operations, we'll talk about curriculum changes taking place in Tennessee. And finally, April 9th, 18th and 19th is probably going to be our most ambitious undertaking. We're probably going to be inviting about 10 national experts on consumption and how it relates to climate change. We had a conference last year on this topic, and it was quite interesting, and we're going to bring back some of the same people and add some more people on it. So we've got a busy agenda. And we hope that many of you will want to come to this. We'll be sending out notices across the campus, so reminders for everybody. So be aware of that. Then I guess just the last thing here. We're in the process of building a new website, so. We'll have a shorter website than one of it. Right now it's embedded in the law school web, and so we're going to take it out and have a more prominent one. But right now you can find out a little bit more about us through that website right there. And then I'm the Associate Director for Administration, and Jonathan Gilligan, who I'm sure many of you know, is the Associate Director for Science. So that's, in short, that's what we're doing on the research front, and hope to be doing it for many years. Thank you.